Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Back to more Boston sports talk. Gresh and Keith on EEI.
Money, 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 money,
money, money, money, money, money, money, money, money.
You know you want to win money gambling. Money, 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 if you're a state or a municipality, you're wondering, how are we going to raise revenues without raising taxes?
Mm-hmm.
Well, sports betting could be an answer, but not around here. It's 11 o'clock straight up. Gresh and Keith here with you on the WEEI Sports Radio Network. Hey, I know you're bouncing around today. The weather's bad, and hopefully everybody is staying safe out there. If you're listening on 93.7 FM, make sure you're switching over when you get down towards the southern part. You're heading down 95, maybe 103.7 FM is where you can get us. And, of course, in Worcester, Springfield, Cape, and the islands up in New Hampshire and in Maine. Well, yesterday, Daniel Wallach, lawyer, part of the crew that got UNH law up and running and that developed that kind of sports betting program up there.
Had him on the show a few
with
times.
Mike McCann.
Yeah.
Good guy.
Yep.
He did an hour-long webinar yesterday. Here's the way it was written. With an overview of the current landscape and the existing problems preventing the Bay State from legalizing sports betting.
What is the holdup?
Well, Wallach.
It's a multi-layered answer.
It really is. Wallach joked how he has said this is the year, and he's been saying it since 2018, and added, hopefully I won't be 0-4.
Yeah.
But that was the vibe coming out of this thing. And by the way, if you want in on this sports gambling deal to be able to yell at a Politico, 617-779-7937. So there was basically a State House News reporter on there. And there was Representative, Gerald Parisella and Senator Eric Lesser, who were a part of all of this and this big discussion. So Connecticut got it done. Rhode Island got it done a long time ago. And by the way, these politicos in Rhode Island rolled out a lot of the same crap that the Massachusetts folks did, and we're going to peel that apart. But Maine has said no to sports betting for some odd reason.
Yeah.
New Hampshire has already legalized.
They're in.
New York finally got their act together. They're getting ready. I mean, they're either getting ready or will be full go at the turn of the year. New Jersey's been up and running for a while. So what is the holdup here?
They're waiting for every single state that borders Massachusetts
to approve it
first before they do it.
So here were some of the things talked about in the key issues,
All right? Hit me.
Who gets to operate sports betting in the state? The lottery, online-only operators, kiosks at bars and restaurants, professional sports teams, and minority-owned businesses. That was among the many that was talked about.
Spread around a little bit.
Okay.
Spread the love.
All right. This is not hard. It really isn't. In the state of Rhode Island, and I know that this whole scenario really well. First of all, in Rhode Island, the Bally's Lincoln, which used to be Twin River, I know they're going through the change now. Those monies basically flow directly into the state. So if you went to Twin River Casino.
Yes, right? As I would.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
And you're sitting at a table and you're betting.
Yep. High stakes.
You cannot get a free drink.
What?
You cannot get a free because the state, okay?
Yeah, right.
The state's tied in. And to go into a casino in Rhode Island, you can be 18.
Perfect.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, perfect.
For me.
Kind of.
Okay.
Insane.
But you also had those same politicos down there.
Yeah.
This guy, Dominic Ruggiero, who runs the Senate.
Okay.
Google him with rubbers and
I'm
have a good laugh.
I'm not
going
to Google him
I'm
with
just
rubbers.
Saying. Just,
I'm not, I'll take your word for
it's
it.
A good it's a good laugh, and you'll find out a little more about the guy. But he was one of those who'd be like, well, what about the youth?
You got to protect the kids.
What about the youth?
They're already betting.
Yeah, my kid's 19. he came home 2 weeks ago from Alabama and went with his friends, and they went to the casino. Right? Yeah. That's just one other guy. But yes. So they're talking out of both sides of their mouth down the air, and here you have to figure out whether it's going to run through the lottery or not. It runs through the lottery in Rhode Island. Mm-hmm. In the state of Connecticut, their chop is the lottery gets to run 15 retail books across the state. But you had one casino, Mohegan Sun, who's partnered with FanDuel. You have Foxwoods, who's partnered with DraftKings. And then you have other online entities as well. And the lottery retained their right to basically compete for the sports gambler. So you can do it that way in Rhode Island. I know there might be some changes to come at the beginning of the year, but they complicated things by bringing in a sports book in William Hill, thinking that, well, these people at Twin River, they only have a company where they're gaming and casinos. And
they could
run it, but let's bring in someone else. So while this is a big deal, you know, the whole betting kiosks and things like that.
This doesn't seem like it should be what's preventing it from happening, though. This seems like there's plenty of ways to get it done. And here's the thing. You're not the first state doing it. You can look at all. There's so many examples around the country, whether it's the ones that are super local. You can even go to New Jersey. You can go to, what is it, Michigan now and Iowa and all these different places.
30 states. Yeah,
okay.
So take
a look around. Do a little bit of research. See what works best. And then this way you try to satisfy as many people as possible.
And by the way, you do not need a betting kiosk in restaurants and bars right now. That doesn't have to be addressed at this point. Because now for Massachusetts, again, you're...
If I can do it on my phone, I don't need a kiosk.
Right. And you're missing hundreds of millions of dollars in this state because the people on the Hill can't figure it out. So and professional sports teams, I don't know, in case you haven't noticed, there's already a DraftKings kiosk already in Gillette Stadium.
Yeah, they're all loading up. They're all getting ready for it.
Turn the key, right?
Yeah.
So then there is the should online betting be coupled or decoupled from land-based operators, which is a nice way to say, are we going to screw the casinos or are we going to allow WynnBET and BetMGM and all that stuff in, which if it's a casino operating in your state, it should be pretty easy to, they get to do it as well.
Well, it should be both, right? It should definitely be both. If you want to go and make a day of it, go to the casino or a night of it, yes, you should be able to do it. But you should also be able to sit on your couch at home and fire up one of these apps and make the bets there too.
They apparently a part of the discussion was also remote or in-person registration, okay? Trust me, Massachusetts, when I tell you this, do not do what Rhode Island did. Because, again, the guy who ran the Senate was all worried about, what about the 18-year-olds, which is a load of bunk.
Yeah.
So when they first started in Rhode Island, you had to physically go to Twin River Casino, and there's where you had to finish your initialization to sign up.
You had to take the SATs. You had to give blood.
Yes.
Yeah. You're like, come on.
And they realized in about 4 months, it was like, okay, we need to roll this back.
I just want to bet Pats -3. That's all I'm trying to do. I'm not trying to give you all my information. Like, it's unnecessary.
So don't do that. And apparently that isn't as massive a deal here in Massachusetts as it should be.
Yeah.
And then it got into what bets should be allowed.
Let me tell you right now, everything.
Thank you.
If I can bet on who's going to cross the street faster between two people, you should be able to bet on that. You should be able to bet on everything. Because here's the other part of it, too, is, you know, this gets into, like, props and, you know, Oscar betting and esports and all that stuff. You can still have a cap on it. So if you're like, this is a heavy favorite for best picture. Well, you can't bet $1 million on it. There's a cap on all that stuff. So it's sort of like, other states and other entities have been doing this long enough to sort of protect itself.
You position that so well. That's all you have to do. If you want to bet on an Oscar nominee,
go for it.
The most you can put on it is 100 or 250 or whatever it is. It's not hard.
Nope.
Now, I know some states have been reticent to go there. And if we can't get betting on Oscars, Emmys, things like, fine, okay, how about this?
Yeah.
Can I bet sports? How about that?
Yeah,
let's start there.
Honestly, at least start there, but I don't see what the harm is in also betting on some of that other stuff. You've been able to do it for some of these offshore accounts. You've been able to do it for decades.
Oh,
so, yeah. Sorry about that.
You're not supposed to mention those. You're not supposed to mention that you can go offshore and all that. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Which just makes no sense whatsoever. And it's really stuff like that just complicates the issue. Now,
because like what's out of all those things that you just mentioned there, I can't imagine which one is really the cause for holding this up multiple years. I can see not being the first state to do it. You're not really sure how it's going to work. You don't know what the success level is. You don't know how to kind of police the whole thing. But after so many other examples, and specifically in Massachusetts, seeing money go out the door to New Hampshire and Rhode Island and now Connecticut, because depending on where you live in the state, you can get to any one of those spots in less than an hour.
Yep.
And so I just, I really don't understand the holdup. My one, I guess, hope that it gets done at some point is if I told you 10 years ago that marijuana was going to be legal here, you would have said, come on. Like, no way. It just felt like it just never would be.
Right.
And now it is, in a lot of states anyway. So eventually, I think this will break through, but it just seems like it's years too late.
31 states have moved forward with sports betting. All of them have some form of college betting because apparently, Keith, this is now one of the latest hangups from the politicos,
okay.
Right?
Yeah.
So I had mentioned the names earlier, and let me just read Senator Eric Lesser, right?
All right.
This is a quote that was on Mutt's Twitter, at Mutt WEEI.
Oh, this has been Mutt's battle for years.
And you know what? God bless him, because it's really ridiculous. Yeah. So Lesser said, quote, obviously March Madness and the bowl games are big business. A lot of people bet on that. We're not denying reality. But there also needs to be an acknowledgement on the other side of that that is different when you're dealing with 18 and 19-year-old unpaid college athletes versus pro teams. One way to proceed, Lesser suggested, would be to, quote, get started with pro sports and see how it goes. This drives me nuts because
like,
this
how is that something that you even get hung up on?
This is akin to the argument of the, well, what about the youth?
So
okay,
now we can't bet on them. Like, what are we talking about here? Do you know? Does he realize how much money CBS and ESPN and ABC and everybody spend on NCAA games?
Billions. Here's the other thing too. There have been other states who figured it out. In Rhode Island, for example, you cannot bet in state on those in-state teams. So if URI plays PC beginning of December, which they do in basketball, can't bet on that. Can't bet on PC games. Can't bet on URI. No Bryant. None of that.
It's kind of stupid, but fine. Like, okay, fine.
Right.
If you want to police it that way, I guess. But.
And we have, unfortunately, Keith, a bunch of people in government everywhere who think, well, you know, the dirty bettors are going to go get some kid and like handcuff him to a chair and make him point shave and things like that.
This is such a I guess blind spot you could call it, or like they just have zero knowledge of it.
And there you go.
And then they have to discuss it. It was similar to like when Major League Baseball went on trial and Palmeiro and all those guys, like, they don't know what the hell they're doing. Like, I used to like the baseball and I used to enjoy the Cracker Jacks. And you're like, all right, that doesn't really help us now in this discussion. And it's the same thing here. They have zero knowledge of it, and so they're just like, well, what about, yeah, right. Well, they're going to start shaving points. It's like, well, you can already bet on all these games.
Well, the other
thing, if the mob was going to get to them, they already
would have. Yes, and that's the other part of this. Now, and Mutt had the note on Twitter about 31 states have moved forward.
Yeah.
The other part of this that everybody forgets about is there are already systems in place where these books, first of all, a lot of the books also operate in other states. So if there is a massive amount of betting irregularity, we're talking about in the millions of dollars on a game.
They flag it.
It gets pulled and it gets investigated. I know that across the pond, the books over there dealt with this in terms of tennis matches being fixed and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, highlights fixed. Can't bet highlights.
And if a lot of it is run through these lotteries, and I learned this a little bit because the guy who was the head of the Rhode Island Lottery is a buddy of mine, and he was like, yeah, we all talk to each other. Like, it's not hard to communicate with other states to be able to get synchronized in terms of how lottery commissions are operating,
right,
and some of the other things within, like in terms of your of like fail safes and what you're going to adopt in terms of you know, your legit, like safeguards, regulations, things like that.
Yeah, all,
there's only a ton of states out there that you could pull from and get data from to make this easier.
Oh, yeah. That's the thing about it is you're not exactly a trailblazer on this. You know, you're lagging behind and you're just losing money for the state and it's going everywhere else and people are doing it. And this would be a great spot for it. I mean, it's just think about how popular sports already are here. I mean, it's one of the most popular areas in the country for sports, and yet can't bet on them, or at least got to go somewhere else, or got to do it kind of shady. You can't do any of that. So, I'm still like kind of hopeful, but the fact that it's taken this long, you're like, all right, it's maybe not that soon.
Let me pop your balloon,
okay?
Because among the things mentioned in this is that there's going to be a hearing this summer.
I'm sorry? It's Halloween.
Yeah.
We gotta wait another 6 months?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, 8 months?
So at one point, Colin Young, and I'm reading this from bettingusa.com. At one point, Young said what most viewers were likely thinking as he offhandedly pointed to the remaining issues being hashed out in a conference committee next summer. And neither of the legislators that were on this batted an eye at that timeline, let alone disputed it. That is, this is...
So 2022?
Maybe.
By the fall of 22.
And then they
can we bet on next year's Patriots team?
I don't know. I really don't. Now,
can I put in a futures bet in New Hampshire on whether or not we'll have betting in Massachusetts?
I mean, good God almighty. That's what they really should do.
Probably minus 600, no.
So a guy from FanDuel once estimated 30% of its New Jersey bets came from New Yorkers.
Yeah.
Which segued into how many people are running to New Hampshire from Massachusetts.
All the time.
Shime doesn't go anywhere other than for food, but he'll drive to Massachusetts, drive to New Hampshire to make bets.
So think about that. He's going up there. You know, he's getting a couple of cheeseburgers and fries in New Hampshire.
No question.
So he can bet in the parking lot and then turn around and come home. Maybe stop and buy beers and stuff up there while, you know.
Beautiful. Get your fireworks.
Oh, beautiful.
You're not going to stop in New Hampshire. They hand it to you as you pull in.
Oh, it's the best.
Here's a six-pack.
It's like one of the greatest states in the world.
And the whole thing about college betting is so ridiculous because the easiest fail-safe for every state is, you can't bet on in-state teams.
No BC bets? Come on!
But think about it from that standpoint. I'm glad you said that, right? So for football, what are we talking here?
BC UMass.
We're talking BC UMass, and that's about it. You're not putting lines out on division, you know, like, sorry, Stonehill, but no one's betting your game.
Damn it.
And that's not a jab at Stonehill, just a reference.
What about when Williams plays Amherst? It's the oldest rivalry.
It is the oldest
rivalry.
I'd
like to put a few bucks down on that one.
I did that game the year College Game Day went there.
They went there, I know.
Yeah,
it was a massive game.
It was something. Yeah. It was my, probably the 100th play-by-play guy. I worked with a Tom Caron at one point in time.
There you go.
Where TC and I were doing some
that's
of
a
those
good D3 rivalry,
but think about it. So you have two, and then when it comes to college basketball, now that's a little more right because you have BC
Harvard
and UMass,
yeah,
but
yeah.
You have Harvard, you have UMass Lowell. Oh, you know what? I guess you would have to include the Ivies. Harvard, yeah. In terms of betting on football,
yeah.
That might be one as well.
But I don't think anybody would really complain about that.
No.
We would just be so happy that we could bet on Alabama or we could bet on Ohio State or whatever or the back to the pro teams. That part shouldn't be what prevents it.
And then there is, which is really the biggest thing, which is like, where's all the money going to go?
Yeah.
Because that's a part of the reason why states funnel it through the lottery, because then it is easier to, it's a state-run agency, and then they can disperse the money on the whole state-run agency.
Do you think that's the biggest holdup right now is who runs it?
Oh, here?
That part. Yeah.
Yeah, I would think so. And look, if you have a gaming commission in Massachusetts, which again, if you have casinos, you have a gaming commission. Mm-hmm. So you would think that these hurdles are not that big to jump over. But of course, what you have are Democrats and Republicans, which is a way of saying, I am ideologically blind one way, or I'm ideologically blind the other way.
Liberals
doesn't matter.
Crying.
They're both blind.
Like, was that your idea? Then I hate it.
They're
like,
both blind on their own ways.
Yep.
But that, to me, that is a big part of this.
What's
like
the sports betting party? I want to join that party.
You know what?
Who is that?
Oh, it's the Democrats.
Is it? All right.
You know what?
I'm in.
If I cared.
John, I'm joining your side.
If I cared enough about politics,
yeah,
I'd create the Do Right Party.
Do Right Party.
Let's try to do right for the majority
of
people.
Yeah, the Do Right Party's on the left.
Well, yeah, supposedly.
I'm actually
depends on who you believe.
The far left, though.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to say, if you were to be John Anderson Sr. ran a company and you were going to inherit $20 million at his death, your thoughts might be a little more conservative, let's say, to certain things.
I'm actually
right?
bringing back the Whig Party, and the first person I'm signing up is Scheim.
Oh, my God. That is fantastic. But that's a part of it. So they're saying that Massachusetts, by the way, Massachusetts, $5 million in licensing fees.
Oh.
Now, if you
drop in the bucket, that's what I'm going to put on Harvard if I get a chance.
I mean, good God. And then it's like massive tax and stuff like that. And even if there isn't college betting, which there will be, they're not like they're dumb. These politicals, they're not that dumb. They're dumb. But good Lord, that would be something that I don't think it'll scare people off. But to your point, like what we've laid out is something that has been made complex that really isn't. And that's why I wanted to walk through that.
No, I know.
Because this is not hard.
But the faith in them kind of figuring this out, that is concerning where they're like, all right, yeah, we couldn't come up with a decision now, but we'll pick it up in the summer. And like, what? So now just another whole football season comes and goes. Another whole basketball, hockey season comes and goes. And you're missing out, and more people are going to decide to go to other states to make their bets.
Yeah, and you know it would be nice if you had some money for schools, maybe some money flowing in for, you know, roads.
Fill some of these potholes.
How about infrastructure? Yep. How about this? Maybe take a chunk of the betting money and put it towards the T, which is updated for 1975
maybe
when it rode by the old garden.
I'll take a new baseball stadium. No, too much. All right,
a little too much. Sorry, that's right. Yeah,
not too far.
That's once again, it's the people in Rhode Island. Oh, let's not make this investment. Oh, Polar Park was full all year.
Stop making me think about stuff.
But
I hear you.
It's really frustrating from the standpoint of the, and
well,
I don't know if there's a voice who is leading the other than Mutt.
It's Mutt.
Poor bastard.
It's Mutt out there on his own. No, and it's so frustrating. And I kept getting tweets about it during the ALCS where Joe Buck would say, hey, Kyle Schwarber's plus 400 to hit a dinger, and people tweet and be like, "Yeah, I'd love to bet on it, Joe." Can't bet. I'm in Massachusetts. You're. I know it's across the country, the Fox broadcast, but the home team is in the state where you can't bet, and they kept reminding you of all these props, and you're like, "Yeah, that sounds like a good one. I'd like to bet on that too." But
Doritos, Locos, Tacos,
yeah, all that stuff, and you couldn't do it here, and every broadcast is doing it. Think about how many. Like the DraftKings spots pop up all the time. They tell you what you can bet on, whether it's the Celtics game or the Bruins game or whatever else. And you're like, oh, yeah, that would be fun. I would like to bet on that. Like, not here.
It stinks. I Rhode Island went through it as well.
Maybe one day my daughter will grow up and she'll live in a state where they can bet on sports.
Oh, there you go.
That's the hope. By the time she turns 18.
Let's hope she
can start betting on the Pats.
That's right. Yep. And then if you have a second kid, maybe their school will be better in your where you live. That's right.
Built on my lost bets.
Yeah, I mean, seriously. But it's amazing to me that this gets this complicated because these states, first of all, you look like idiots when you say, oh, casinos can operate. That's fine. Oh, but this sports betting, what do we do? Because everybody wants in. That's the real thing.
Yeah, there's that.
You take care of your casinos. You have DraftKings, FanDuel, and a couple of other books that maybe you want to license in terms of online. If the lottery retains, say the lottery, it's a bigger state, right? I don't know how comparatively we are to Connecticut and stuff like that. But if the lottery wants to maintain the right to be able to run 10 retail locations, let's say, and you do it to where it isn't competing with the existing casinos, why is that so hard? It just isn't. And we say in this state, well, we license you to run a casino, and we trust you to do that on the up and up. Yeah, but this sports betting thing, we can't figure out.
My only hope, though, is that, again, I never thought there would be a casino like we have here in Massachusetts.
You mean Encore?
Encore. I didn't think we'd have that. I didn't think that would be here. I didn't think you'd be able to smoke weed here legally. And, like, those things eventually happened. And there was big pushbacks against both for the longest time. So I do think it'll happen. It's just a matter of when, you know, and how long do we have to wait?
Faxtastic quickly said Rhode Island can bet, can't smoke weed. Massachusetts can't bet, can smoke weed.
Yeah, that's right.
Let's combine everything together. And there we
friends.
Go.
You got to know which state you're allowed to do what in.
There you go. So I buy my pot en masse, and then as I'm driving through Rhode Island, I could sit at a stoplight and make my bets, and then go back into mass again, and then go home and follow my bets and smoke my dope. I mean, good Lord.
That's it.
I don't know. Listen. It's very exasperating for me because it's just rooted in stupidity.
Maybe I'll get into politics.
Speaking of that, here's John Anderson, who's ready to trend.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
We're back to Gresh and Keefe on WEEI.
Bradfo Show.
That's my open?
That's what they used to call me, Swivel Hit Bradford.
That's my open. I'm waiting for you to justify your stupid opinion.
Bradfo Show.
That's delicious.
11:31. Tommy Curran joins us in an hour from now, but let's get into some baseball. Joining us on the Harbor One Hotline from WEEI.com, a man who got to take a breath for a couple of days over the weekend. It would be Rob Bradford, who... Bradfo, are you standing outside the Bradford Palatial Estate with no power? How are things on the home front with the nor'easter hitting?
Oh, my goodness. We're hoarding bread and toilet paper and hand sanitizer all over again. It's crazy. So, I just came from Los Angeles. Los Angeles is great. And then I come back here. This is awful. Awful. Anyway, offseason, let's go get him.
Well, yes. Yeah, and Xander Bogaerts has a decision to make, and we'll get to that. But Chaim Bloom has some decisions as well, Rob. In your mind, what is the number one thing on the offseason docket for Chaim Bloom?
Ooh, that's a good one. I think that figuring out Bogaerts, I do think figuring out is that okay? Are we all right?
No, the phone just dipped for a second. We're all ears on the answer.
Sounds like you're on a boat in the middle of the ocean at points. It's okay, friend. It was just,
Oh, back? Is that all right? I mean, what do you want me to do?
No, you're good. You're good. Okay. Just keep answering the question,
just
Rob.
Try your best and have fun.
I heard the old boy. So the old boy is never good. With Bogaerts, I think that you have to figure out what you have in Bogaerts. You have to.
Not happening.
Here.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy, Bradford. We lost you again.
We're going to put you on hold.
Put him on hold. Good. Great.
Not John's fault. Yep. Not John's fault. Rob lost power. He was going to hook up the way he normally does. So
normally sounds like he's in the room with us.
We're all scrambling, trying to figure everything out.
Yeah, I couldn't tell if he made a makeshift raft and was out trying to forage for.
He's coming back from Cuba.
Nuts and berries.
On a raft in the middle of the ocean. He's got a bunch of others with him. Hey, Chaim, I got this lefty on me on the raft
He's got a t-shirt on a stick, trying to use it as a sail.
He thinks he's really talking to a volleyball, but instead he's talking into a phone to us.
Although that hat he wears always looks like he's been caught in a storm.
Kind of
doesn't
does.
It?
Yeah,
just a little bit. Yeah. Here comes Rob Bradford. Sailing down the streets of his hometown. Yeah, that wasn't wasn't that ideal. And he loved the question, too. He gave it a, what did he say? An oh, baby? Or a great one?
I think so.
He loved it.
I'm more thinking of Rob Bradford standing on the front of the boat like George Washington leading the way.
Yeah.
Yep.
I see a click over there.
Yeah. Like, we should get power back any day now.
I see a man that looks like Shyam running away with bread and cheese.
You'd have to imagine doing a radio interview has got to be one of the better activities when you don't have power. Because when you don't have power, there's nothing. There's nothing going on.
That's why everyone should have a radio in their kitchen that has batteries in it so that you can flip it on, you can get updates, or you can listen to something while the rain is pouring in your house from a leaky light or something like that.
Yeah, it's not good.
So Rob was going to go down the road of the biggest decision
is what to
do with Bogaerts. This is Mookie Betts paranoia at its best. And it's also business of baseball as well.
So the one reason I have faith that Bogaerts could be here for the long haul, because, yeah, there was a report June Lee had that Bogaerts will opt out after next season. So he's under contract for this season, but it's after next season he might opt out. And he's making $20 million right now. He has Scott Boras, but he also signed with what I thought was a hometown discount originally. And so obviously he wants a little bit more because you can look around the league and see what other guys are making. But am I wrong to have confidence that they're going to be able to keep him?
I think you got to be at least open to the possibility that something could happen, because these decisions you almost have to make a year ahead. And we welcome back Rob Bradford of WEEI.com. We pick up where we left off on Heinblum's top priority, and you think it's Bogaerts.
Yes, I do think it's Bogaerts. And Bogaerts is, you guys just talking about it, are you confident that he's coming back? I don't know if you should be confident, because he's going to take the opt-out. I mean, he basically said that to me without saying it back in, I think it was June, that he's looking at the shortstops. This isn't the same situation as last time. They were coming off a World Series, completely different situation. He's going to make his money. He understands that. So if you're going to keep Xander Bogaerts, you have to sign him to an extension. And if what that looks like the Mookie Betts deal. Honestly, it looks like the Mookie Betts deal. And if you do the Mookie Betts deal with Xander Bogaerts, then are you in a position to do it with Rafi Devers? Because it's going to be the same sort of deal. So I think that they have to figure this out. They have to figure out where they look at Xander Bogaerts playing. Because another part of this, guys, is, and this is a small part of it, but still, if you sign Xander Bogaerts to an extension, and I think we all think that this is a good idea. He's a foundation guy. I think he is a potential Hall of Famer. But you have their number one prospect who's going to be here in 2024, 2025, right smack dab in the middle of the Xander Bogaerts contract, playing shortstop. So what are you going to do? Especially if you keep Devers. All of this for Bloom, I think, hinges on the Xander Bogaerts deal.
Did you just say you think Xander Bogaerts could be a Hall of Famer?
Yes.
Really? Like, he's going to have a great 30. Why not? I mean,
he's 28 years old.
Okay, so he's going to have
from WEEI.
He's going to have a great 30s. He's had one top 5 MVP finish in his whole career.
You don't think he could be a Hall of Famer?
No. I mean, unless he has a Barry Bonds like 30s, then maybe.
He's been one of the best offensive players at his position for the last in the prime of his career, starting in his mid 20s. So if he's going to do that, just say he's going to do it, he could do it for another 10 years. That's not a Hall of Fame career.
Well, I mean, we have to see him do it for another 10 years. So, I mean, I guess there's that part of it. But, no, I don't view him as a Hall of Famer. But do they have to overpay him because Mookie Betts is gone, and now you don't want to be the club that lost Mookie Betts and Xander Bogaerts over the course of 2-3 seasons?
No, because, you know, and it's an interesting conversation, because now, a year ago, yeah, you would say that. But now Heinblum has all kinds of benefit of the doubt, right? Like, he can say, well, how could you ever win without Mookie Betts? Well, you won without Mookie Betts. You went as far as the team you that had Mookie Betts went.
Right.
Exactly. So you can just say, hey, you know what? You know, you can do it without this. And my favorite phrase is, you know, you don't want isolation for outfielders in baseball, which is true. I mean, you don't. If this isn't in the NBA. You can win with a lot and not just one. And look at the Angels, for instance. They have maybe the two best players in baseball, and they can't win. So, you know, I think that Chaim Bloom can go to everybody and say, we can do it this way. We don't have to have Xander Bogaerts. We don't have to have Rafi Devers. We didn't have to have Mookie Betts. Now, I will say this. That's a dangerous proposition because you do need a middle-of-the-order, no doubt about it, player or players. And I think that's what we're talking about with Bogaerts and Devers.
Rob Bradford of WEEI.com with us on the Harbor One Hotline, talking about the decisions Chaim Bloom has in front of him. How do you think Bloom handles Eddie Rodriguez this offseason, Rob?
Well, they could obviously give him the qualifying offer, which is just shy of $19 million, and that obviously they do that. And if he signs elsewhere, they get a draft pick. That's why you do it, and you run the risk of him actually taking it. I don't think that – I might be wrong, but I can't see them offering him that. Maybe they do, but if he does take it, which I think he probably would because of the year he's coming off of, then not only do you have the uncertainty of Eduardo Rodriguez, but you have the $19 million on the book. And for all these people who say, oh, it's the Red Sox, they just spend money, that's not how it works. You know, we've seen it before. This is how they pieced this team together. They used a lot of players with not a ton of money. So I think that's the approach that they want to go forward. They don't want to take big chunks like $19 million and give it to a guy that they think they probably can fill in with a Garrett Whitlock, Tanner Houck, and a guy at half the price in the free agent market. So that's my guess. My guess is that they let him go.
Do they want J.D. Martinez to opt in, or do they want him to opt out?
I think I would think that they want him to opt out because, once again, that's $19 million. And I think that's a dangerous proposition as well because as much as we say, well, look, you can go sign this guy, you can do this, you can do that, there's a reason why you signed J.D. Martinez in 2018 because you learned your lesson from David Ortiz leaving. You had that whole year where you said, oh, we'll figure it out. You know, everyone's going to get better. You can make up for that production in the middle of the order. No, you can't. You need the guy like J.D. Martinez right smack dab in the middle who is your foundation guy. And that's exactly what he's been, and that's probably what he'll be next year. So, yeah, it's a lot of money. Yeah, it puts a dent in your payroll, but sometimes you just have to pay for the certainty, and I think that's what they should be looking at with J.D. Martinez. But, you know, I do think he'll probably opt in, and, you know, and that's obviously 5 days after the World Series, and then they'll form their whole offseason around that.
Rob, we've only got a minute. What is the future of second base with this team, and how does Jose Iglesias fit in, if at all?
I don't think he fits in. I think he made himself some money. Instead of signing a minor league deal, he's probably going to get a major league deal somewhere. And, yeah, I think they like Christian Arroyo unless they trade him. I think that Christian Arroyo is probably your second baseman. Kike Hernandez is your center fielder. You're waiting to see what you have in Jeter Downs come up. And then the guy who they drafted last year, Nick York, he's your second baseman in the future 2 years from now. So, you know, I think right now that's what they're looking at. I don't think they spend the money for Marcus Semien, although they showed a little interest, although they chose Kike Hernandez over them. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think it's a priority right now, but Christian Arroyo is good enough for them. Let's put it on the bumper stickers. Christian Arroyo is good enough.
There you go. Bradfoe is going to be all over the Red Sox offseason. If we have one, let's hope that baseball can get their ducks in a row and that we do have some fun to talk about. Bradfoe, we know you've been traveling and you've been busy and grinding the last couple of weeks. Thank you, friend. We appreciate it.
Hey, guys, sincerely, I appreciate you having me on and Will on. It's been a really fun season. I look forward to talking with you guys soon.
Attaboy.
Absolutely.
There we go. There goes Rob Bradford with us on the Harbor One Hotline. By the way, if you're listening on 93.7 FM here in Boston and you're heading south, 103.7 FM, you can check in there. Also in Worcester, in Springfield, Cape in the Islands, in Keene, New Hampshire, and up in Maine for the whole WEEI Sports Radio Network and wherever you are on the Odyssey app. Our fantasy football stayaways for week 8. Week 8 next.
More Crash and Keith right now on WEEI.
Keith's gonna give you what you need to know. Talk about who you gotta start, who you gotta say, gotta let go. When you be like,
whoop, whoop. You doing so good, gonna win your league, but you gotta listen to Rich Keefe.
And Grash.
In the fantasy breeze. Rich Keefe is playing like John Clayton up inside the huddle, and he's got an intimate knowledge of the fantasy game like he and Matthew Berry like to cuddle. If your team got a problem, yo, he'll solve it. Winston Wolf for this fantasy gauntlet. So pretty pleased with sugar on it. Check out the hook walk.
Grash.
Keefe's gonna give you the info you desire. Who to claim from the waiver wire, so your lineup game is on fire. Put him on the board. Championship. You're definitely gonna when you leave, but you gotta listen to Rich Keefe
and Grash.
Finna faint at the sea.
Brief. My fantasy team is 1-4. Jeez.
That's right. Well, it's Grash and Keefe, so it kind of could be us anytime anyway. But, you know, with Shyam out today with jury duty.
Jury duty. I'd pick Shyam. If I was ever accused of something and I looked over there and I'm like, listen, I need a jury of my peers. Sign me up for that guy.
So like, there's a lot of crimes that like Shyam would not be able to stay unbiased on, though, that he'd have to remove himself
from. How quick, though, did he lean over
it's here? Like a McDonald's robbery.
I was going to say, you know, Shyam's the one looking around. Everybody's quiet. He's like, when's lunch?
Oh, yeah.
He's like, we break for lunch soon, right? I can't focus on this if I don't have a full belly.
Some lawyer's preparing and it's all quiet in the courtroom. All of a sudden, you just see him lean and go,
snack.
And they'd be like, where'd that come from? Get him out of here!
Or he's like the scene in I Think You Should Leave where he's at the meeting, he's got a hot dog up his sleeve, and he's like...
in court, just like...
Why does juror number 8 keep going to his sleeve like that? What is he doing? Is he taping something? No, he's eating a hot dog, sir. He's eating a hot dog. He's fine.
Then they find out he's a sports guy. He's like Belichick! He's taping stuff!
He could be. Oh, man. So
all right,
anyway.
Well, let's get to the
stayaways
in week 8. First week of all, it's eight. Crazy. Yeah. We're halfway through the season.
We are. Well, just shy halfway.
That's true. I forgot.
That game is still quite a wrinkle. So no Ravens, no Raiders this week. Not the the Bimageddon that we had in week 7, but still two teams with a lot of guys that you may use, including two quarterbacks. Lamar Jackson, Derek Carr have both been really good this year. Maybe you also have Russell Wilson and your quarterback situation is a mess. Who are some guys that might be available, but you might also want to still stay away from? I'm going with Sam Darnold, who has really cooled off. He was actually a good fantasy start for the first several weeks of the season. He has really cooled off, and even though he's playing the Falcons this week,
ooh,
I would still say stay away from Sam Darnold. Another one, Gresh, Mac Jones.
Oh,
Mac Jones, again, not a guy that you would start normally every single week, but he's top 10 in passing yards on the season.
Mm-hmm.
He is starting to find the end zone a little bit more. And facing the Chargers, we went over some of the numbers yesterday. The Chargers give up a lot of ground yards.
162 a game.
So this is definitely a play Damian Harris week. And if the Patriots are going to have success, I feel like it's not going to be through the air a whole lot.
Well, conversely, I think Justin Herbert is a stay away this week from the standpoint of you've slowed down Tom Brady. We know that the Chargers are
not
coming
Dak.
Off a bye. No, not Dak. But I don't think the weaponry is there like the Cowboys had. I think the running back makes a massive difference.
And also, Herbert's only bad game last year, like really
was
bad
against
game,
New England.
Was against the Pats. So I don't know. Maybe Belichick's got something up his sleeve.
And by the way, I know the Daniel Jones Giants at Kansas City matchup screams yes.
Yeah,
but you can't go any
throw
Giants.
Him, like, they're all hurt.
That's right.
That whole team is hurt with the Giants. And I also, I would never play Roethlisberger, but throw him on the list, too. The Steelers are playing the Browns. Couple of running backs here for you. I'm going to stay away from Mike Davis this week. He of the Falcons coming off a bad week. And the Panthers, believe it or not, the Carolina Panthers have been the toughest against running backs in fantasy. They've at least given up the fewest fantasy points to running backs. So I'm staying away from Mike Davis. And then also a really tough matchup, Miles Gaskin and the Dolphins are taking on the Bills. They are the fourth toughest against running back, so I'm staying away from Miles Gaskin.
Yeah, I know I have Aaron Jones, and Green Bay is in a tricky spot tomorrow night against the Cardinals.
But with no receivers, I wonder. Yeah, that is tough.
Well, I was going to say A.J. Dillon is probably not going to get a ton of run because it's a shootout. You don't really know how that game is going to go. And I have him in fantasy. I'm down on Melvin Gordon this week against Washington.
Yeah.
A, the Broncos aren't very good, and B, you just don't know which Redskins defense you're going to get week to week.
And two receivers, both on the same team, Tyler Boyd and T. Higgins. Cincinnati is playing the Jets this week. Although the Jets, again, they give up so many rushing yards. Joe Mixon's a great play. He may be in me and Shime's perfect lineup. We're going to have to take a look at that. But that's a great matchup for Joe Mixon. But it also seems like as good as Boyd and Higgins are, Joe Burrow is so locked in on Ja'Marr Chase.
Yeah.
That I think, unfortunately, those guys, their value just isn't there. They haven't been super productive and consistent at all. So I'm staying away from those two if you can.
In terms of the Bears, Allen Robinson and Darnell Mooney against San Francisco. No go.
Yeah, well, Fields is not helping those guys out.
It's really Robinson.
We talked about Robinson in the first hour. I think he's legit, but that offense right now is so bad.
And Jalen Waddle. Miami at Buffalo.
Buffalo.
That's a stay away, right? Buffalo off a bye, too.
Yep, I agree.
Yeah, I'm kind of feeling that. Do you have any tight ends you're staying away from?
Nope.
I'm away from Dalton Schultz.
Okay.
Cowboys at Minnesota on that one. Uh-huh. And with Washington at Denver, Ricky Seals Jones.
Not Snails?
Not Snails.
Okay.
Ricky Seals Jones.
Right. Ricky Snails Jones.
There we go. That's what I was looking for right there. So there's your fantasy football stayaways. Hopefully, I have filled the shoes of Shine.
You did a great job.
Well, thank you. Uh-huh. I'm also almost a size 16 shoe.
Fair enough. My
feet would probably burst through Shine's.
Well, if Shine gets picked up for this jury, we may never see him again. He might be every 2 weeks might go by.
I mean, that's a lot of lunch. It's a losing proposition.
Yeah, they might cut their losses.
Oh,
yeah.
If he finds out that they supply lunch,
we'll never see him again.
We'll get a job at the courthouse.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that is true. The Night in Boston Sports and What If Wednesday kicks off hour three of Gresh and Keefe next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.